Thank you, thank you. I want you to take the Word of God and turn over to the book of John, chapter 17. The book of John, chapter 17. Appreciate what the Lord's doing around this church. Appreciate His blessing upon this place. And we want His continued blessing upon us. And we ask that He'll meet with us tonight in a very special, special way. Had a great blessing after the service this morning. Had a young lady come to me and brought me an entire leather case full of ungodly music. CDs, hundreds and probably hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth. And she said, I want you to take these and run over them or do whatever you want to with them. And I'm going to tell you something, that's a blessing, folks. And what I mean by that is that whatever you let in your ear gate is going to affect who you are. And next Sunday morning, they want to be here for this. They can't be here tonight, but she wants to be here. I'm going to smash those things in front of the entire church next Sunday morning. That'll be a great way to start off Faith Promise, won't it? Sure. So just tell folks we're going to have a smashing good time next Sunday morning. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's just good to see people sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Like I've told you before, one of the devil's main jobs in heaven before he's kicked out was music. Interesting, isn't it? Sure it is. And that's one tool among many he's using to try to get people's minds and pollute them. And if you'll notice, I'm not mentioning any specific type of music because I've learned a long time ago that you already know, this is not my message, but you already know in your heart if the music you're listening to is right or wrong. You already know that. You don't need a preacher to say that's wrong. You know if it's right or if it's wrong. And I'm saying if it's wrong, get rid of it. Why? Because it's not worth it. That's why. John chapter 17, just a little sermonette before the message here. That was encouraging this morning. I told you this morning, God willing, I'm going to preach on my life verse, and I'm going to keep that word. The Lord's still leading me in that direction. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. It's my life verse as of right now. It's verse number 4. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to His Heavenly Father, and He makes a statement here, and I've adopted this as my life verse. The Bible says, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Let me say it again. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Now let's pray together, and that's the title of my message, my life verse. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we love You this evening. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You this morning for what You did in our hearts and our midst. And I pray for this service this night that You'll meet with us in a mighty, mighty way. Holy Spirit, be our invited guest. Bless those who are visiting with us. May You speak to them, speak through me, speak to me. I need to hear from You tonight. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. I'm asking for Your will to be done here. Please take full control of the service. And forgive my sins, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a Bible that is my study Bible. I'm not preaching from it. I actually still study from it throughout the week that I had when I was in Bible college several years ago. If I brought that Bible to the pulpit with me, which I didn't, but if I did, on the front pages as I opened it up, there are several signatures with Bible verse references beside it. Now, these verse references are the life verses of these great men of God, if you will. Among these names that are in the flyleaf of that Bible are those by the name of Lee Robertson. His life verse was Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and them who are called according to His purpose. You come on down, and right there in the flyleaf of my Bible is Clarence Sexton, Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. If you'll keep searching, you'll come to a name by the name of Tom Malone. What a preacher he was. Hallelujah. That old rusky voice, I'm telling you. Well, I mean, what a mighty preacher. Romans 8:32, he wrote out beside his name, He that spared not his son, his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You come down and you have to know that his name would be there. His name's Keith Kaiser. And he signed my Bible and he wrote out beside it, what a mighty life verse. Matter of fact, it's such a mighty one, I almost adopted it myself. It's 1 Samuel 12:24. Listen to this. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for thee. That's a wonderful verse. You know, I think of others. He doesn't know this. Well, maybe he does. I got his life verse a long time ago, so if it's changed, he can let me know later. But I've got Gary's name down here. He didn't sign my Bible, didn't want his name in it. Anyway, I'm just kidding with you. But I asked him what his life verse was, and if it still is, it's Psalm 27:4. Am I right with saying that? And it has one thing: if I desire the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his holy temple. I asked preacher about, he is a preacher, I don't know if you remember this, but my memory serves me correctly, which it doesn't serve me correctly too much anymore. But anyway, you told me that you have several favorite verses. And so I don't have a specific verse for preacher, but he has a lot of them. And what I'm saying, you don't have to have a life verse, but these life verses are a blessing. I have another name, the name of Scott Pauley, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How could I forget my wife, right? Now, I didn't have her sign my Bible, you understand? But anyway, this is her life verse. It was Isaiah 45:2-3, but she switched it to Psalm 73:28, which says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works." Now, as you can see, it's good to have a life verse. I'm not necessarily telling you to get one, but it's good to have one that means so much to you. Now, whether it summarizes what your desire is, or if it's just an encouragement to you during a trying time, search for a verse, if God leads you to do this, that you can adopt as a life verse. And with this in mind, I want to share with you my life verse and show you why it means so much to me. Now, in my own personal life, I feel a life verse. This is for me personally. Some people adopt a life verse that was a special blessing to them during a trial. I didn't choose a life verse for myself in that way. I chose a verse that is something that I'm striving for, something I'm aiming for, something that encourages and strengthens my walk with the Lord. Now, this verse in John 17:4 does all of that for me. I must say that this verse comes to me over and over again, not just for daily life, but for something to strive for when I see Jesus Christ face to face. It is my desire, as I'm preaching on my life verse, to help and encourage you with some thoughts from it. It is my desire not only to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it's my desire in my heart that God will look at me someday and quote back to me John 17:4. I would love for him to look at me and say, "I'm going to tell you something, son. You glorified me on the earth, and you finished the work that I gave you to do." Now, with this being in mind, I'm going to give you two major things about this life verse here, about life on this earth. In other words, there's two things about life on the earth that encourages me to keep stretching forward. By the way, it's good to have Brother Gary's parents here. I meant to do that this morning, but my mind keeps slipping me over and over again. Always good to see you folks. Most of the time it's good to see you folks. I'm kidding with you, all right? Good to have you in the service tonight. There's two major things about life on earth that this verse does for me. First of all, it shows me my purpose. Secondly, it gives me my work. And I'm going to show you these things together, and I hope these will be a blessing to you. First of all, just notice the purpose on the earth, my purpose on the earth. By the way, you can say the same thing about yourself, because what's true about me in this verse is also true about you, my purpose on the earth. Look at it. Here it is. It's found up and wrapped up in the first phrase, "I have glorified thee on the earth." You know, in this simple statement, I see purpose for life on the earth. While God gives me life, our purpose is not to glorify self, but it's to glorify our Heavenly Father. You know, this word glorify means to render glorious or to magnify. And I brought a magnifying glass with me, because in that word magnify, it's a powerful word. We're talking about glorify. I have glorified thee. I have magnified thee on the earth. Now, when you look at this magnifying glass, what happens when you use it? As long as it's clean, and as long as you can see through it clearly, when I put this magnifying glass over my paper here, you know what it does to these words. I'm talking about that my purpose there gets extremely a lot more bigger here, and it's easier to read. I can see things that maybe I can't see now, and what I'm saying to you is that it makes it so clear to me that I know exactly what it's saying. You know, in life, that's what our life is to do with God. Do you understand that when people look at you, God should be bigger in their life? Do you understand that when people look at you, He should be a little bit clearer in their life? In other words, we ought to be magnifying God, not minimizing Him in our life. Everywhere I go on the earth, whether alone or with a crowd of people, I have the purpose to glorify God in everything I say and everything I do. And folks, by the way, that's your purpose too. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:5, let the Lord be glorified. Psalm 70 verse 4, let God be magnified. And may I say to you that Christ fulfilled his purpose of glorifying his heavenly Father. And so should we fulfill our purpose of doing the same. Now I know what you're asking. How can I glorify and magnify God? There's two things I want to give you under this to show you two specific ways that you can fulfill your purpose on the earth of glorifying God or magnifying the Lord. Making him bigger, if you will. First of all, you glorify him in our body. God has made it to where our body can magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. The Word of God says in Philippians 1:20, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I wonder, are you magnifying, are you glorifying God in your body tonight? I'm talking about what you look at, does it glorify God? Well, I'm talking about what you listen to, does it glorify God? What you do with your hands, does it magnify the Lord? Where you go with your feet, does it magnify God? How your mind thinks, does it magnify God? And what your mouth speaks, is it bringing glory to Almighty God? We glorify God in our bodies. Secondly, we glorify him by our fruit. The Word of God says in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. If you'll hold your place here in John chapter 17 and turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5 just a moment. The book of Galatians chapter number 5. We're looking at the fruit here. We're looking at our purpose on the earth. Our purpose is the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. That's our purpose, to glorify our God on this earth. We magnify him by our bodies. We magnify him by our fruit. We're looking at this fruit together. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Word of God says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When you think about fruit in a Christian's life, most of the time, there's where people go. The fruit of the Spirit. And you would not be wrong, because that is true. God wants to glorify himself through you by the fruits of the Spirit being evident in your life. But here's the point I'm trying to make when I say by our fruit. I'm not necessarily dwelling on the fruit of the Spirit, but Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Here's what I'm saying. Are you magnifying or are you minimizing the Lord Jesus Christ in your body and by your fruit on the earth? What I mean right here is that God has so designed it that as people watch us live, and I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. What I'm talking about is letting him live through us, and in our bodies, we do not do things that disglorify him, that minimizes him, but we choose to do those things that magnify him, and among those things is bearing fruit, and part of the fruit of a Christian is other Christians. Which means that if you're out soul winning and you're trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and you are reproducing yourself, that glorifies your heavenly Father. No doubt about it. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may also see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you why you ought to let your light shine and why you ought to let other people see your good works is because God says that's how your Father is glorified in heaven. You know what your purpose is on earth? This morning you saw what it was not, and that's to glorify self. That's pride. Our purpose on this earth is to glorify God. Amen. I'm talking about everything you say, everything you do, everywhere you go, how you think, what you listen to. I'm talking about what you do with your hands, go with your feet. It should bring glory and honor to God. Because after all, you only have hands because he gave them to you. You only have feet because he gave them to you. You only have two eyes because he lets you see. Listen, you can only speak tonight because God has allowed your tongue to be loose. I'm saying God has given us the ability to live life in this body. And he's made it so we use what he's given us to bring glory and honor to God. I'm trying to get you to see something. I want you and I want myself and I want the folks here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to be magnifying glasses. I'm talking about right here with legs and arms. I'm just talking about everywhere we go. People ought to look at us and say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, God's big right there. Yes, I can see who God is. Yes, that gives a clear picture of who God is. Yes, I can understand. Yes, that is who God is. I'm saying whenever they watch you, whenever they see you, whenever they dwell among you, whenever they watch how you live your life, are you making God bigger or are you making Him smaller? It's one of the two. It's one of the two. We notice, first of all, our purpose, specifically mine, because it's my life verse. I'm showing you my purpose, but secondly, I see my work in this verse. Now, I want to be a blessing to you here, because understand who's speaking here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's prayer. I'm just taking it and trying to apply it to my own life. So understand that what I'm getting ready to bring out about my work was also true about His work. This is His work. Because He said right here, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And there's some things I want to be a blessing to you. The Lord Jesus had a work to which He gave His life. Amen. This was a work to the death and beyond. It was the work of redemption. I'm talking about, whenever we're looking at this verse together, I'm talking about literally interpreting it. This doesn't really apply to me, but talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the work God gave Him to do? He gave Him the work to redeem mankind. Now, I'm going to tell you something. These things are a blessing to my heart. But the emphasis I'm trying to make is just like God the Father gave God the Son a work to do on the earth, He also gives His children a work to do too. He really does. He has a will for your life. And this is something that He's really dealt with my heart about. And I'm trying to show you here that as we preach on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He finished it, in the same way we're applying, we're not interpreting, we're just applying this truth that just like God the Father gave God the Son a work to do to be done, He has given His children a work to do to be done. And we ought to find it and do it until we see Him face to face. Now there are several things about the work I want you to see. First of all, under this, it is a presented work. Notice what He says here in the last statement. I've glorified Thee on the earth. There's the purpose. I have finished the work, notice this now, which Thou gavest Me to do. Now notice the words, which Thou gavest. The Lord Jesus realized the work was given to Him by His Father. John 18:11, Jesus said, the cup which My Father hath given Me, shall I not drink it? Luke 2:49, wist ye not that I must be about My Father's business? The Lord Jesus realized the work came directly from His Heavenly Father to do. And folks, in the same way, listen, all I'm doing is just letting you in on my life verse and why it means so much to me. But please apply this to your own life in the same way, in day by day, moment by moment, and even a life calling. I have been presented a work to do. It's known as the will of God in my life. And I'm saying it's not something I have chosen. It's something I have been given by God to do. And I'm telling you something, if you want true peace in life, learn to do the will of God that He's presented in your life. I'm telling you something, folks, listen to me, please. I'm trying to say this to you, that yes, God has made it to where you choose His will, but understand that His will must be presented to you. It is a gift of God. He has presented something in your life to do. By the way, there's some things He's given all of us to do. There's some things He's given every one of us to do, like read the Bible, pray, be a gospel witness, be faithful to church. But there's other things that He has specifically called us to do. For instance, in my life, at one point in my life, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. But God had something different that He gave me to do. And what He gave me to do was not to hit a baseball for my life. It was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I look at what He's called me to do, I do not need to look at it as this is something that I am doing myself. No, it is something God has presented to me to do for His glory. And in the same way, listen to me, folks, you need and I need to get in on the presented will of God in our life. Are you fulfilling what God has given you to do? It was a presented work. Secondly, it was a personal work. We see this because he said, which thou gavest me to do. He didn't say which you gave the world. No, he said which you gave me to do. See, the Lord Jesus knew his Father had a work just for him. You know what? He has the same for his children. There is something in this life that he has chosen to give you to do. Now that's a blessing to me. You know what's a blessing about it? That means he's thinking about me. You understand what I'm saying? For me, the personal work he's given me to do is to be a preacher of the gospel, specifically the pastor right now of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Will that ever change? I have no idea. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Who hopes it does? But all I'm saying to you is that the presented work and the personal work he's given to me is to preach the gospel. I'm not saying that he's going to call every man to preach. I'm not saying if you're a teenager, God's calling you to preach. I'm not saying he is, but if he is, give in to him. Because that is a personal work he's chosen in your life. I'm simply trying to say, find the personal work God has for you. Make sure that what you're doing is right in the middle of God's will. Smack dab right in the middle of it. I know that's Southern terminology, but I'm as Southern as you can get. Smack dab right in the middle of it. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like being in the middle of God's will. Nothing like it. Nothing will beat it. And I guarantee you, if I was on a World Series team right now, are you listening to me, and I had a World Series ring, I would not have as much fun as I'm having tonight because I'm in the middle of God's will. It's a presented work. It's a personal work. Number three, by the way, John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Powerful. Powerful. Remember when the Lord Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate's questioning him. He's ignoring him some, but just like I said just a few weeks ago now, I believe it was, anytime the Lord was asked the question during his trial, are you a king? Are you the Messiah? He always answered. Because he cannot deny himself. You know, one of the most powerful portions of scripture to me, it's all powerful, but it's when the Lord wouldn't answer Pilate. And Pilate said, don't you understand I have power to crucify you and I have power to set you free? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, you have no power at all. Lest they were given thee from above. And at that point, Pilate tried to release him. You remember the story? And all I'm saying to you is that here's what Jesus said to Pilate. Pilate's trying to talk to him, saying, are you a king then? I mean, what's going on? And Jesus tenderly said, this is the reason I came to the world. This is why I'm here. You know, it's a shame that more Christians don't have the same attitude. That to this end was I born. What end? To do and finish the work that God gave him. That's what life is. Preacher Lassiter sitting right there. Great football player. So I've been told. All these kind of things. The fact of the matter is, God has given him a presented and personal work. And let me ask you a question. Those of y'all who've been here a long time, are you glad he gave in to God's will? Amen. 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 And in the same way, he has a personal will for every one of his children. Every one of us. The Lord Jesus knew his Father gave the work to him. In the same way, we have been given the work that is God's will for us. We need to get our eyes off everybody else and on to God's will for our lives. Number one, it is a presented work. Number two, it's a personal work. Number three, it is a particular work. That's all found in the little three-letter word, the, where it says, I have finished the work. Notice the definite article. It wasn't some things Christ chose, but rather the one thing given him to do. It was specific. In other words, this was a work only Christ could do. And what I'm saying to you is that this was not something that his Father said, well, I've got that for you to do. Why don't you just choose one of them? That's not what he did. His Heavenly Father gave him a work to do. He gave him the work to do.
Very specific, very particular.
And in that, the Lord fulfilled and finished the work that God gave him. You know, in the same way, God has given all of us. Now, I know I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I'm doing it some for emphasis. He's given all of us a particular work to do. It's not only a personal work, it's a particular work. Like I've said, for me right now, it's to preach. No doubt about it. And all I'm saying to you is that at the same time that he has a particular work to give you life to, he also has day-to-day works to give you life to, folks. By the way, let me help some young people here. Maybe even some older folks who may be struggling with the will of God. In other words, what does God want me to do? There is what's called the unknown will of God. In other words, does God want me to buy that house? Does he want me to take that job? Does he want me to preach? That sometimes is classified as God's unknown will. In other words, you're not going to be able to go to the scripture and say, thou shalt buy that house. You see what I'm saying? The way you find the unknown will of God, now listen to me closely. The way you find the unknown will of God is you continue to do the known will of God. Did you hear what I just said? I never heard it given any better than this. I think it was Dr. Sexton, but I'm not sure who it was. He illustrated the unknown will of God as being like driving down the road at night with your headlights on. When you're driving down the road at night, now picture this with me, and the headlights are on. It's very dark outside. There's only so far you can see. You see what I'm saying? But if you want to see what's beyond the headlights, you have to keep the car going. If you stop the car, you'll never know what was beyond. But if you keep the car going, he still may only let you see so far, but you'll see what's next, and then you'll see what's next, and then you'll see what's next. Here's what I'm saying. Why should God trust us with the unknown will if he can't even trust us with his known will first? Amen or not? In other words, are you reading the Bible every day? No, but I'll tell you one thing. I wish you'd tell me what to do with my life. Think about that statement. Just think about it. He's told you to do that, but you're not doing it, but you want him to tell you to do that, which it takes this to find that in the first place. I'm saying we've got to understand that God has particular things for us to do. And if you ever want to find out what the work is that he wants you to give your life to, then you have to continuously do the works he's given you day to day to do today. I hope I helped somebody right there. I may not have. I may have confused you. I hope I didn't. We're looking at this work together. Number one, it was a presented work. Number two, a personal work. Number three, a particular work. Number four, it was a work to be performed. We see this because he says, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. To do. For the Lord Jesus, the presented personal particular work was the work to be done, not just considered. Matthew 26:42. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. God the Father gave God the Son the work, get it folks, to do. Aren't you glad he did it? Amen. If he didn't do the work, you're not saved tonight. And we're all going to burn in hell. I'm simply trying to say to you that the work that God the Father gives, he gives it to be performed. He wants us to do it. The work God has given me, I am to do it with all of my heart and all of my soul now. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It's a work to be performed. Number five, there's just two more. Stay with me. It's a work to be perfected. That word perfected means to be accomplished, to be finished. We see this in those three words, I have finished. That word finished means to perfect. It means to fulfill, accomplish, or complete. The work the Heavenly Father gave the Lord Jesus Christ was not only to be done, it was to be accomplished. It was to be finished. It was to be taken and carried all the way through. John 4:34, Jesus said, my meat. Preached on it Wednesday night, right, Brother Gary? I was listening. See what I'm saying? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not to just start it. He said, my meat is to do it and then to finish it. Then does anybody know what he said on the cross, John 19:30? He said, it's finished. You know what Jesus Christ's life was summarized with? Do the will of God, 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 do the will of God. Done. That's pretty good right there, folks. That's a great way to live your life. Do the will of God. Do. Done. And it's not done until you see Him face to face. I'm saying it's a work to be perfected. We must understand the work God has given us to be right here to do is to be finished. We should make it a matter of prayer that God help us to finish what He's given us to do. Can I say this to you? God forbid this. 10 years down the road, I've left the ministry, I'm a failure. Because God doesn't change His mind. God called me to preach, that never changes. Never. Never changes. And I'm going to tell you something. If somebody says, well, God called me to do that, but He's changed His mind. They don't know God very well, folks. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And what that means is that God has called me to preach, and if I do anything but preach, I'm a failure. Amen. That's the truth. And I'm telling you that if you're involved in anything other than God's will for your life, you have missed the boat. You've missed it. That's why the parents of these young people and the parents of these teenagers and the parents of these children, my wife and I are praying now. I'm praying now that God will get a hold of that young man's heart right there. I'm being very careful what I say because I don't want him to be daddy called. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you understand what I mean when I say I want God to get a hold of his heart? I want God to call that boy to do something for him. I want God to get a hold of our little girl. By the way, if he does, she'll turn the world upside down, I'll tell you right now. And I'm saying this, whatever God tells you to do with your life, he gives it to you not only to do it, but to finish it. Finish. Finish. Acts 20:24, Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's saying, I don't care what's going on. None of it's going to move me. I'm staying firm. I'm staying with it. In the same way, we all need to do that with the will of God, folks. No doubt about it. Then there's a sixth thing about this work. This is all applying to us. Now listen, I'm not interpreting this verse because this is the Lord Jesus speaking to his Father. I have been interpreting it some about this is the work of redemption. I'm just simply applying this to my life. You understand the difference? I'm not saying this is me. I'm simply trying to say I'm taking what the Lord Jesus said to his Father and God's dwelling in my heart with it. This work is also productive work. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, when the work of God that God gives us to do is finished, it produces some great things. You say, prove it. Well, let's go back to the work here that's literally being talked about, the work of redemption. When the Lord Jesus Christ did it, and when he finished it, there are some wonderful products available. What's that mean? Well, in Matthew, you don't need to turn to this for time's sake. Let me just give you some of them. Listen, there's no way we can even tip the iceberg. And it is an iceberg. Massive. Let me just give you just a few things that Jesus Christ, fulfilling the work God gave him to do, let me give you just a few of the products that we have. It's productive. If you do what God tells you to do, it produces some wonderful things. What did it produce in our life? Well, first of all, it produced access to God. That's what it produced. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. Listen to this. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. What's that mean? That means that now there's access directly into God's presence. What a product. How did it come about? The Lord Jesus finished the work that his Father gave him, and he produced it. What about the product of redemption? That means to buy back. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What do we have as a result of Jesus Christ finishing the work that God the Father gave him? We have access to God. We have redemption. That means that we who are sold under sin when we were born, if we confess our sin and ask Jesus to come into our heart, he redeems us, only possible, because he finished the work his Father gave him. These are products. Number three, there's five of them. You understand there's many more. I'm just tapping a few of them. We have our sin put away. Hebrews 9:26, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. What's the sacrifice of himself? The work in John 17:4 that his Father gave him to do. And because he did it and he finished it, now he can take our sin and put them away from us. What a mighty product that is. Sanctification in Hebrews 10:7-10. Spiritual healing in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Get it? Because Christ finished the work. You and I who have trusted him have a home in heaven. Amen. Just let that sink in just a moment. That because he finished the work that he was talking about in John 17:4, because he finished it and he gave his life to do it and he did not back down from it, because of that, now your saved loved ones who've gone on and has ripped your heart out, they're waiting on you on the other side. Now when you close your eyes in death here, if you've been saved, you'll wake up in the, I'm talking about the golden street of heaven. So gold it's transparent, the Bible says, you can see through it. I'm talking about the gates of pearl. By the way, you've heard how a pearl is made, don't you? Agitation, pain. And as a result of the pain, that sea creature produces a pearl. Could it be that God has put a pearl at every gate, so that when we walk through the gate, we're reminded of the pain that created what we're seeing? Can't prove it. You can't disprove it. What am I saying? I'm saying because the Lord Jesus Christ saw his work that his Father gave him and he gave his life to it, it produces so many wonderful things for us today. And in the same way, when we finish the work that God has given us to do, it produces some wonderful things in other people too. You say, what are you talking about? Don't think I am tooting my horn. If you do, you need to get the message from this morning, because I'm not tooting my horn. But I'm simply trying to say this to you. Because God helped me surrender to his will and turn my back on baseball, I had the privilege, not saying that I wouldn't have, but I may not have been in town, you understand. I had the privilege 72 hours before my papaw passed away to lead him to Jesus Christ. I've preached as a teenager. I'm talking about I preached my first message in seventh grade, not much better than it is today. I'm not much better than I was then. But throughout my life, God has allowed me to see precious souls come to Jesus Christ. Precious souls. I'm talking about whether it's one in a church service or whether it's 170 some in a meeting down in Florida, it doesn't matter how many. What matters is that when somebody does the will of God, other people benefit from it. Just like when the Lord Jesus Christ did the will of God in his life, you and I are reaping his benefits today. And may we give our life to serve God with his will. If it's to preach, we preach. Men, not ladies, except at home. If it's to dig ditches, if it's to put sewer lines in, if it's to work in construction, if it's to work in printing, if it's to be a youth pastor, an assistant pastor, a bus director, whatever it is, if God's in it, give your life to it. Because it's a productive work. And it lets other people see who he is. And we see other people trust Christ as their Savior. That's what it's all about, folks. That's really what it's all about. Now, I wonder tonight, what is it that God is speaking to you about? My life verse is John 17:4. I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. My purpose is to glorify my God. And my purpose is to give my life to the work that is presented, personal, particular, to be performed, to be perfective, and is productive. Thank God for his will in our lives, folks. And may we give our life just like the Lord Jesus. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen. May we give our lives to do the will of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this verse. What a mighty verse it is. Lord, I thank you for how you've dealt in my own heart with it. And I pray tonight that you'll help us all to understand that our purpose in life is not to glorify self. Our purpose in life is to glorify God. Help us understand that just like you gave a work to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've given us a work. It's presented, it's personal, it's particular. You give it to us to perform it, you give it to us to perfect it, in other words, to finish it. And if we do it, there's products that it produces for other people. God, help us to see the importance of your will. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Let me start where I believe God would have us to start, and that is this. Have you allowed the productive work of Jesus Christ to have his way in your life? Have you been redeemed? Have you been bought back? Has your sin been put away? If you're here tonight and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. I'm not even sure I'm saved, but I know this. I understand when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I believe he died for me. And I'm tired of running from him. I want to trust him as my Savior. Is there anybody like that tonight? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to be sure I'm a Christian. Anybody at all? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Somebody else? Put your hand up, put it right back down. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to be sure I'm a Christian. Let me ask you this question. None of you know without a doubt. Understand what I'm asking. None of you know without a doubt that you are in the middle of God's will for your life. I'm talking about your daily life. I'm talking about what you're giving your life to do, your life's work, all these kind of things. If it's being a teacher, if God's in it, that's what I'm asking. Is God calling you to do that? Have you know that you're in the center of God's will? You know that. You don't hope, you don't think, you know you are. Be an honest person. Would you raise your hand? You know you're in the middle of God's will. You know you are. God bless you. Thank you. If you cannot say that, that was many of you tonight. Many of you. If you'll be honest and say, Jody, I could not raise my hand saying I know I'm in the center of God's will. Be honest again and say, Jody, would you pray for me? I do not know. That doesn't mean you're not, but it just means you're doubting, or maybe you know you're not, whatever the case may be. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I do not know for sure that I am in the middle of God's will. I do not know that for sure. Be honest. Would you raise your hand high in the air? You do not know that for sure. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it, but I want you to listen to me very, very closely. It's not a bad thing, you understand, to have to raise your hand to that. That's not bad. What it does show is that you're sensitive. And here's what I'm saying. How are you going to find it? How are you going to know if you're right in the middle of God's will? Well, you start where God starts, and that is what he's dealing with you right now about. Some of you may just need to come and say, you know, I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. That's where I need to start. Jody, you was talking about keeping the car going. I understand now. My problem is I've pulled over to the side of the road. I've got discouraged. I've stopped reading the Bible, stopped praying. I haven't been faithful to God, and now I'm wondering why. Why? Well, I don't even know what he wants me to do. Some of you need to start there. Is there somebody here tonight? You say, I'm a man, or I'm a young man, maybe a teenage young boy, or whatever. You say, I believe God may be calling me to preach. I don't know this. I'm not saying he is, but I feel like God may be dealing in my heart to be a preacher. Is there anybody like that, a young man, a boy, a teenager? You say, Jody, pray for me. If this is what God wants, I want to be available. Is there a man, a young boy, a teenager like that? Be honest, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. What about a young lady? You say, Jody, I know God's not going to call me to preach, but I feel like God may have something very special for me to give my life to. And if that's what he wants, that's what I want. Is there a lady like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. There's several of you. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment. Invite those who raise their hands saying, I do not know for sure. I'm in the middle of God's will. I'm going to invite everyone even to come. You say, Jody, do I have to? No, you don't have to. I don't want you to ever feel pressure to do anything. But if you feel God's in it, I want you to come. The one who raised their hand, not sure about heaven, why don't you come along with these others? As soon as we extend this invitation, you step out of your place. We'll take a Bible and share with you how you can know for sure. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God has dealt with you right now as he sings about your salvation, about the will of God, right now as he sings, would you leave your place? Would you come? Come now, please.
Come now.
Limit God's power when he makes it where you have to choose it? Does that limit God? pray. That'll be a great thing. We'll be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to be right up here in front and so on. So just in case you're going that direction. If you're a first-time guest, please remember to take your card out to the Welcome Center. Got a special gift for you just for saying thank you for being here. God bless you. And come praying for Wednesday night. No doubt about it. The Lord add his blessing to it. Okay? I'm going to ask Brother Charlie Moore, sir, if you wouldn't mind dismissing us in prayer, please.
Remember to sign up for the picture.